Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The talk for Palm Sunday is from Nick Tall, a reader at St. James. The readings are taken from Mark 11, verses 1 to 11, and Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
The first reading is taken from Mark chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back shortly.'" They went and they found the colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "Why are you doing this, untying the colt?" They answered as Jesus said to them, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. That is God's word for the 21st century.
The second reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Your attitude should be as the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. We've heard how it's Palm Sunday, and we're thinking about Jesus arriving as a king, with crowds there welcoming him as he comes into Jerusalem. Before I talk a bit about that, I want to think a little bit about something that happened here in Taunton just over 20 years ago. The event in question was a royal visit. The Queen was marking her Golden Jubilee, 50 years on the throne, and throughout that year she toured around many places within the country and around the world in the Commonwealth. And it just happened in May of that year, she made an official visit to Taunton. In a moment, I'm going to share an account of the day. But before I do, I just want to ask if anyone here was actually present and remembers what happened. One, two, three. We have quite a few hands going up. Okay. Because it was actually quite an event. There were lots of people as crowds out on the street to welcome the Queen. So, you know, it's I'm sure many of us will have remembered it if we were there. Now, I know my memory can be a bit dodgy going back 20 years. So what I thought I would do was I would look online and find a description of what happened just to remind myself. And I'm going to read out what I discovered. In a historic event that filled the streets with excitement, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II graced Taunton with her presence in 2002. The town buzzed with anticipation as residents eagerly awaited the arrival of the monarch, marking a day of celebration and pride. The Queen's visit was a testament to Taunton's significance within the United Kingdom, as she engaged with the community and celebrated the town's heritage. Her Majesty's Day commenced with a warm welcome by local officials and dignitaries, setting the stage for a series of engagements. A formal civic reception provided an opportunity for elected representatives and community leaders to interact with the Queen, discussing local matters and showcasing the town's achievements. Accompanied by a tour of Taunton's landmarks, the Queen immersed herself in the town's rich history, gaining insight into its architectural splendor. Her Majesty's engagement with the local community left a lasting impact as she visited schools, hospitals, and charitable organizations, connecting with residents of all ages. A cultural showcase highlighted Taunton's artistic talents and cultural diversity, with local performers entertaining the Queen with music, dance, and theatrical performances. So that was the account I found online of the Queen's visit here in May in 2002. Now, if you weren't there, you might be thinking, does that actually sound like that was what was likely to have happened? But if you were there, was that how you remembered it? Or was it not quite like that? Yes. Yes.
Seeing the car arrive,
yes.
And she had a lovely, I think it was a pale green outfit on. And we saw her come in the car and then get out of the car and go into one of the marquees. I didn't know there was all the singing and dancing
no.
in the theatre. I didn't hear any of that.
Anyone else remember all those other things that I found online? Oh, Marilyn.
Hi. I remember Vivery Park as well. We got Joy and some of the other children who were in wheelchairs in the place where we were told, but she never came round.
Oh.
So we missed her. We didn't see her at all. But we did have a photo with Jenny Bond,
right.
who was...
Well, that's all right. Royal correspondence, next best thing. Well, yes, so I have to own up. The account I found online isn't true. I went and I asked ChatGPT, the AI program, to make it up for me, and it duly obliged. And while bits of it may have sounded plausible, although I must admit the architectural splendor of Taunton, I thought, was stretching a point... I can tell you, actually, it isn't what happened, because I was there 20 years ago, and what really happened is the Queen arrived at Taunton Station by train, was met by the MP and the Mayor, and then she drove in a car, and she went down Station Road, turned left at the old cinema, as people who've been in Taunton a long time call that bit where Bridge Street becomes Staple Grove Road, and then drove downtown over the bridge to the Market House, got out there, had a look round the farmer's market, must have been a Thursday, and then went to Vivery Park, and went and had a look at some local displays in marquees there. And I was in the crowd around about by the bridge, so I remember the excitement, people waving flags. Some people, when they'd seen the Queen go past, would run on again so they could have a second look. And, you know, that happened all the way along the route. And after she'd seen what she needed to see in Vivery Park, she got into a helicopter and flew off to her next engagement. So, I can tell you all of that from memory. And I also knew someone who was in one of the marquees in Vivory Park, and who actually spoke to the Queen. So I've got quite a good memory of what happened. The reason I'm telling you all of this is just to think about how reliable stories can be sometime after they're told. Today is Palm Sunday. We're looking back not 20 years, but 2,000 years to the time when Jesus entered Jerusalem with an excited crowd welcoming him, waving palm branches and calling out. So do you think that the story we heard read to us from Mark chapter 11 explains the story of what really happened that day accurately? Now, I actually think we can be pretty sure that it's not just something made up by the first century equivalent of ChatGPT, because Mark's account was written about 20 years after the actual events. And just like thinking back to the Queen's visit to Taunton, well, if it had been made up, there would have been plenty of people around to point out all the inaccuracies. In Mark's Gospel, we have just a few hundred words describing the event, but it would have been seen by thousands of people. All would have had their own story to tell, their own experience of what that day would have been like. But the account in Mark's Gospel tells the core of the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem, having chosen to do so on a donkey to show that he was entering not as a conquering military leader. He had ridden on a big war horse if he'd have done that, but coming in as the Prince of Peace. And the crowd welcomed him and celebrated his arrival. And they cut palm branches from the fields and they laid them on the floor before him. And they called out, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" And it made such an impression, we still sing that today, 2,000 years on. So with thousands of people present on that Palm Sunday, I think we can be pretty confident that Mark's account is accurate. And actually, we can be pretty confident of the written account throughout the events of Holy Week, leading through to Good Friday and to Easter Sunday. The Last Supper, Jesus' arrest and trial, the crucifixion, Jesus' death, his burial, and then the resurrection events of Easter Sunday. The account we have from Mark and in the other Gospels, they were written down within living memory, in Mark's case just 20 years afterwards. And that story that many, many people will have witnessed firsthand, and which would have been disputed if the facts were just wildly out or if it had been made up. Think about it. If Mark had written a first draft and he claimed at the end of Jesus coming in and being welcomed by the crowds, he stated that Jesus then ended up in Vivory Park and flew off in a helicopter, people of the day would have completely pulled it apart, as well as asking what is a helicopter and where is Vivory Park. So I'm talking here about the importance of first-hand experience. And while we don't have first-hand experience of the events of Holy Week, many, many people did. And Jesus didn't just meet people during Holy Week. There would have been many, many interactions that he had with people throughout his life, particularly through the 3 years of his public ministry leading up to Holy Week. There would have been people whose lives had been changed by meeting with Jesus in many different stories, some of which have been recorded by the gospel writers, some of which weren't, some of which have not been passed down to us through the years for us to hear. But we know that we have more than enough for us to have confidence in Jesus through the stories that we do have, and to know about his life, his teaching, who he was as a person, and about his death and his resurrection. So thinking back again to the Queen's visit in 2002, my understanding of the Queen making a royal visit is informed by my experience of that day, but I'm just one point of data. I'm just one story amongst many. You probably had different experiences, but ones which are just as valid. Now, my wife Janet, who plays the clarinet here most weeks, she wasn't there in 2002, but she did meet the Queen on a royal visit to Crookern in 2012 for the Diamond Jubilee Tour. I'm not going to tell Janet's story on what she and the Queen talked about. You can ask Janet yourself over a cup of tea after the service if you wish. But it just shows there is another insight, and Janet's experience is just as valid as my own from 10 years earlier. And I want to say that your experience is valid. Your experience of God is valid. It may be different from someone else's, but that just shows that you have something to add. You have something to contribute to our shared corporate understanding. Imagine, if you will, a conversation between a person who was there and present on Palm Sunday and a person who was present and stood at the foot of the cross on Good Friday. They would both be talking about the same Jesus, yet their experience of him, even though it would be just 5 days apart, would be radically, radically different. Sometimes we can be a bit close-minded and limit ourselves to the experiences that we have, and we think, well, that's all the truth that we need. And maybe it is, but we can always learn more and grow and be enriched by listening attentively and seriously to others, particularly to those quiet voices on the margins that often aren't listened to. The full reality of who Jesus was and who he is for us today is something that we can never fully comprehend, not in this life. I cannot give you the truth in a neat package, all sorted out for you, all contained, all pre-processed, everything you will need. Understanding who Jesus is, it's not something that you can complete. It's not something you can have on your to-do list and tick off and say, right, I've done that, and then you can move on to other things. Just as any relationship with a living, breathing person is something that can never be exhausted. If you've known someone, think maybe of a family member. Think maybe of a really close friend that you've known for years. Yes, you can be very familiar with them, but they'll always surprise you in one way or another. So whether you're just starting to explore faith, or you've been living out your faith day by day your whole life, the journey always goes on. And you're always being invited to take the next step, always being prepared for a surprise that might be round the corner. And so, at the start of this Holy Week, while we might be 2,000 years after those original events that we will think about and pray about and show in our worship over this next 7 days, we may be some time after those original events. We can learn from the eyewitnesses that were there through engaging with the stories in the Gospels written so soon afterwards. And one thing that's always good to do around about Holy Week or Easter time, just take time to sit in one go, maybe, and start reading from Mark chapter 11 through to the end. Read the whole story of that week just in one go and immerse yourself in it. We can also learn about Jesus through our experience of him in our lives, but also through the experience that others have through their lives. And so I pray this Holy Week that we will draw near to him as he draws near to us. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.